Carmichael against Payment Center is our next case today. Mr. Bragg.
Yes, Your Honor. My name is Randolph Bragg. With me at council table is Adam Mergenthaler. We represent the appellants Harriet and Louise Carmichael. The central question in this appeal is whether the Payment Center's failure to disclose the amount of the 13th and final payment violate the Truth in Lending Act. The Truth in Lending Act and Regulation Z requires the statement of the amount of the payments. Regulation Z states that that may be made by disclosing the amount of the largest and the smallest payments. Here the Payment Center disclosed the amount of the 13th payment as simply the balance that remains. This is no disclosure at all. This does not let the consumer know the amount that they are required to pay off the loan. Clearly,
it's a formula.
Yes, that is correct.
And it's the amount plus the interest minus what you've paid so far.
That's correct, Your Honor.
And what's wrong with a formula?
Nothing's wrong with the formula. The failure to state the amount, the dollar amount that is being paid, is what the error is.
No dollar amount.
Yes, Your Honor.
For a balloon payment, the only amount of the balloon is what's left.
That's correct.
So you're really saying that balloon payments are just illegal per se?
No, I'm saying the failure to state the amount of the...
But you can't accurately state the amount except as what's left. Well, let me put it this way. Would it be better if the thing had said, if all of the 12 payments are made on time and the balloon payment is made on the last possible date and there are no advance or deferred payments of principal, the amount will be X. But if any of those events occur, the amount will be higher or lower.
Yes, that would clearly, assuming that's in a dollar amount, would clearly answer that question. It doesn't require that much detail. It is permissible to assume that the payments are made timely. This court, I believe, was in the Williams decision, says that there's certainly possible to do that and to prepay the loan. It need not be exactly what it is at the end, but at the time of making the disclosure, what it would cost if all payments are timely made to resolve the loan. We state that that violates the Act. It's clearly violates the plain language of the statute. The second disclosure violation is the annual percentage rate. The official staff commentary to Regulation Z states that all the payments must be taken into consideration in calculating the annual percentage rate. Without the final payment amount, it's impossible to calculate the annual percentage rate. The consumer is left to guess what that might be. Thus, we believe that the annual percentage rate also violates the Truth in Lending Act here. This leads to the period of time to rescind the transaction from 3 days to 3 years, that is, until the material disclosures are properly given. And that rescission notice was received by the Payment Center in October of 2001. The Payment Center did not rescind the transaction. That triggers the right to the consumer receiving refund of the finance and other charges paid in excess of the principal. So all amounts in excess of the $69,000 are due to be refunded. It's also entitled to statutory damages. There's a disclosure penalty of up to $2,000 for the failure to make the material disclosure of the final payment or the annual percentage rate. There's a second statutory damage of $2,000 for failure to timely rescind the transaction. Appellants request that the court reverse the district court, enter judgment in their favor, remand with directions to enter damages on behalf of the plaintiff. Reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Thank you, Mr. Bragg. Mr. Leo.
Good May it please the court, my name is John Legia. I'm for speaking on behalf of the Payment Center. There are two issues in dispute in this matter. One, whether the Payment Center's TILA disclosures to the Carmichaels fully complied with TILA requirements. And two, whether the Payment Center's disclosures of the terms of the 13th payment, as opposed to the amount of the 13th payment, satisfies TILA. Before I begin with argument, there's a few background facts here I'd like to make sure the court is aware of. First, the Carmichaels are well-educated. Mr. Carmichael has an engineering degree.
I don't see what any of this has to do with the statute.
Okay, Your Honor.
The statute doesn't give one rule for people who have engineering degrees and another rule for people who have dental degrees.
I think you're correct. I'm just trying to provide a quick background here. A couple other facts, though, that are relevant. The mistaken TILA disclosures. One, the finance charge was overstated by approximately $180,000. The total number of payments, or the total amount of the payments, was overstated by approximately the same amount. At the end of the day, the Carmichaels never paid that amount of interest. They only paid approximately $6,000 based upon a 12% interest rate.
They paid as if those mistakes had not been made, right?
Excuse me, Your Honor?
They paid as if those mistakes had not been made.
Correct, Your Honor. They paid based upon a 12% interest rate, which is based upon the terms of the note and the terms of the mortgage. And that leads to the final fact, Your Honor, that this is a balloon loan for construction financing, short-term financing, 13 payments over a little over a year's period. So with respect to Payment Center's full compliance with TILA, the overstatement of the finance charge, obviously, that's protected by TILA, 1605F1B. And anything that's based upon overstatement of the finance charge is also protected. So the overstatement of the number of payments is likewise protected. Instead of attacking those two overstatements, the Carmichaels tried to attack the disclosure of the interest rate. They said, well, we should have disclosed 130% approximate interest rate instead of the terms of the note at 12%. Well, Your Honor, that doesn't make sense. First of all, they never paid on anything except the 12% interest rate. Two, the terms of the note, the terms of the mortgage were based upon 12%. And TILA specifically states that the disclosure is supposed to follow the terms of the legal obligations of the party, not vice versa. They argue that, well, the statement of the interest rate should be based upon the amount of the payments, but 12 CFR 2618G2 states that the disclosure is supposed to be based upon the actual amount of payments. And in this case, we have an actual amount of payment being based at 12%. Which leads me to the second issue, Your Honor. It's the Payment Center's disclosure of the terms of the 13th payment as opposed to the disclosure of the amount of the payment. There's no dispute here that the Payment Center fully disclosed the terms of the first 12 payments. The amount of the payment, the date of the payment, everything that was required for the first 12. Even with respect to the 13th payment, there's no dispute that we disclosed the date of the 13th payment, obviously that there was one 13th payment. The issue comes down to the sole fact that we described the terms of the 13th payment, that they had to pay the balance due of the interest and the remaining principal. And Your Honor, this issue is really one of first impressions with TILA. TILA is not clear with respect to this issue. Under 12 CFR 2617C, obviously TILA is supposed to reflect the obligations of the legal obligations of the party, which is exactly what we've done. That terminology comes right out of the note, and it comes right out of the mortgage. So the issue then is whether or not, by failing just to state the amount on the 13th payment, whether we have failed to comply with TILA's requirement that the exact amount be stated. But as you're unindicated, on a balloon payment, it's not possible to determine the amount of the exact payment. It's my understanding that with many of these short-term construction financings, they don't go to full term. They didn't go to full term here with the Carmichaels. So it's not possible to provide the best estimate. And so when you look at...
if your estimate had been as good as your list of total payments, it wouldn't have been very valuable, would it?
Absolutely, Your Honor. And it was my understanding that the error was based upon the clerk taking, amortizing this loan over the full 30-year payment amount. And so, if you look at 12 CFR 2217C21, it does provide a situation where...
Is there any evidence your clerk had been recently employed by the Treasury and just wasn't able to comprehend four digits as opposed to six digits or seven or eight?
Your Honor, I'm not sure what quite the issue was. Obviously, there were several issues with the TILA disclosure. But that gets really to the heart of TILA here.
This is, after all, the Dirksen Federal Courthouse, and it was Senator Dirksen who said, a billion here, a billion there, sooner or later it adds up to real money.
But, Your Honor, that gets to the heart of TILA. And the purpose of TILA, is to allow consumers to shop around for loans, to provide them disclosure so they can get the best possible loan terms. I think the argument was made that repeal requires strict compliance. Well, I don't think that really states the whole issue. Clearly, Section 1605 F1B allows for overstatement of interest charges and any other fees that result from that. So clearly, strict compliance isn't required in that context. And also with respect to 12 CFR 226.17C, it states that if any information not necessary for an accurate disclosure is unknown to the other to the creditor, the disclosure shall be made based upon the best information reasonably available to that party. And so, that's the information we're providing. Whether or not that information, it would have been better to disclose an actual dollar amount that would have never come true, I don't think it's fair to state that. The case law cited by by the Carmichaels is also not applicable here, Your Honor. Most of the case law deals with the failure to use proper terminology in a TILA disclosure. And it may make sense in that situation to require strict compliance. You don't want people switching out words and creating confusion in the marketplace. But with what happened here, there is no confusion. It's the final calculation of what the 13th and last payment is due. It's as clear, it's at least as clear as putting down some hypothetical number that may or may not come true. Also, the reliance on Mills versus home equity is also misplaced, Your Honor. Mills involved a complete failure to comply with TILA. No disclosure was provided. They didn't provide the number and amount of payments. They didn't go through the first 12 payments. They didn't provide anything of that nature here. So, Your Honor, we think Judge Shader had it right when he looked at the case of Remler and Smith versus Check and Go. He said, you know, in the end of the day, TILA disclosures must be judged on an objective, reasonable person approach. We have this case with a strange set of facts that the Carmichaels, after the fact, are looking to come back and take advantage of, when there's no harm to the public at large. There's no harm to the Carmichaels. There's no danger that the public would be confused with this sort of loan transaction, and then that's with my reference to the Carmichaels being educated. And so we don't see any harm to the objectives of TILA, of preventing shopping around, of making people enter into loan transactions that are not in their best interest. The Carmichaels were fully informed of this loan transaction, and there's no harm to either them or to other consumers at large. In conclusion, Your Honor, it's clear that the Payment Center has fully complied with TILA disclosure requirements, specifically as it relates to the interest statement of 12% as it's reflected on the note in the mortgage, and also with disclosing the final and 13th payment in its terms as opposed to the final amount. Therefore, the Payment Center prays that this court determined that the October 10th order of Judge Shader dismissing the underlying action for failure to allege TILA disclosure violations be affirmed in its entirety. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Leija. Anything further, Mr. Bragg?
Yes, briefly, Your Honor. Appellee's counsel mentions that it's a result of an error. The court need to note that there was never a bona fide error defense pled, nor any evidence whatsoever introduced about the bona fide error defense. With regard to the purpose of the Act, not only is it for shopping around purposes, it is to protect the consumer from unfair billing credit practices. So it's a protective statute as well as a shopping statute. And finally, as this court recognized in Mirabel versus General Motors, it's no longer let the consumer beware or let the buyer beware, it's let the lender disclose. And here, the Payment Center failed to disclose the amount of the payments. Thank you, Your Honor.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much. The case is taken under advisement.